Hello, this is Brian McLean, and welcome to Our Story with God, Episode 12, Temple Worship. The last several weeks have been focused on leadership, both from the judges as well as from the kings that would come after Moses and lead the children of Israel. And today, let's take a look at worship styles, okay? So the church services that we have today do not really represent the early forms of Hebrew worship. So God gave very specific rules on how he, a holy, perfect, mighty God, expected to be approached by sinful mortal men. And it started out on Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. And God gave very specific instructions. He sent Moses down the mountain with the two tablets, which were sort of the physical representation of the covenant that God had made with Abraham and had passed down through the generations to his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, etc., to that point where they had left Egypt. And God is fulfilling that covenant. And God gives very specific rules on, okay, the tablet needs to go into this box. This is the Ark of the Covenant that was made. The Ark of the Covenant needs to go inside of the tabernacle. Inside of the tabernacle, you're going to have an altar and an incense altar and showbread and lampstands and all the furnishings and all the regulations. And here's who can come in here. And the priests are allowed here and common people are not. So all these rules and regulations. Okay. And so God was very specific about the kinds of furnishings that were allowed, the kinds of offerings that were allowed, how the offerings were to be sacrificed. Did they have to be burned or were the priests allowed to eat them? So there were very specific rules. God was not making a big mystery. It wasn't a guessing game. He gave very specific regulations. Now, God made a point of displaying his glory to the children of Israel. The Hebrew people saw the column of fire by night and the pillar of smoke by day. They saw the cloud over Mount Sinai, and they heard the blasts, and they saw the fire, and they saw Moses' face glowing when he'd spent time in the presence of God. And it terrified them, as I think it would terrify anybody. And they told Moses, if you speak to us, we will listen, but don't let God speak to us or we will die. And that's in Exodus 20:19. And so they had a healthy respect and a fear of God. And God said, okay, I will live among you in the tabernacle, but there's going to be a veil. There's going to be a barrier between you and me. Okay. And so at that point in time, the tabernacle sort of represented the place of worship. And God said, if you worship, if you sacrifice, it needs to be done here at the tabernacle on the altar in front of my Ark of the Covenant. So fast forward several hundred years to Samuel, the last judge, and David, the king. So at this point in time, the ark had remained in that original tent inside of the tabernacle there in a city called Shiloh. That became its resting place after the children of Israel took over the promised land. And so at Shiloh, people would travel there to worship. So Eli, the priest who was raising Samuel, was obviously punished because of his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And Eli and his two sons, all three died on the same day that the Philistines defeated the army of Israel and captured that Ark of the Covenant. God was punishing them for their sins, but now the Ark of the Covenant was in enemy hands. And the Philistines took it away and God punished them dramatically. So they tried to put it in one of their temples, and their God ended up falling down face down in front of the Ark of the Covenant. They started to getting stricken with diseases and so forth. And so the Philistines basically started playing this sort of, I don't want it, you take it, game with the Ark of the Covenant, taking it from city to city. Nobody in the Philistines ended up wanting the Ark of the Covenant because there was so much oppression being caused by it. God was punishing them so heavily that they actually ended up just bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to the children of Israel and saying, here you go, we don't want it anymore. Take it back. And oh, by the way, here's some golden statues of rats and tumors that we've been having to suffer with. We're going to give these to you as an offering to appease your God. And so they brought the ark back to a town called Beth Shemesh. Well, in Beth Shemesh, some of the Hebrew men decided, hey, look, the Ark of the Covenant's here. We've never seen this. Let's go take a look. They looked inside of it, and many of them were killed for it. Many of them died. God punished them for not respecting his ark. They did not do things according to his rules. And the surviving citizens decided, oh, we need to get rid of this. And so they took it to a different city called Kiriath-Jearim, and it stayed there for about 20 years. So at this point in time, we don't hear any mention of the tabernacle. It's just the Ark of the Covenant by itself. And what that indicates is that regular worship, the regulations that God had set up, were not happening. There was no regular sacrifice. The priests weren't fulfilling their duties. The Ark of the Covenant was just basically being stowed away in a storage closet until somebody wanted to do something with it. Well, David was the someone who wanted to do something with it. When he established his kingdom and established the capital of the new location there in Jerusalem, he said, okay, I need to consolidate power. And so he had his city built up, but then he also decided, I'm going to bring the Ark of the Covenant here. And he does this for a lot of reasons. And some people will say, oh, it was a political ploy. You know, he wanted to appear like, oh, God approves of me because look, I have the Ark of the Covenant. Well, that might've been so, but the Bible says that David had a heart at, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. He definitely had a heart for God. So he, it seems to me, he was trying to say, look, I'm the king. And so, yes, I rule over Israel right now, but God is God and I cannot rule without God's presence. So he decides, I'm going to go to Kiriath-Jearim and I'm going to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, to my royal city. Well, unfortunately, apparently he didn't follow the rules either, and he didn't consult with any priests who knew the rules. He decided to throw the Ark of the Covenant on the back of an ox cart. And unfortunately, at some point in time, one of the oxen that was pulling the cart stumbled, and one of the guards put out his hand to hold the Ark up from falling, and God struck him dead. Because again, God has requirements for how you approach him, and he's not going to allow the Ark of the Covenant to be touched by someone who's not a priest. Even the priests, when they touched it, had to do it only with the poles that were to hold it up. And so this man died, and David, he's angry with God, first of all, but he's also terrified, as again, I assume most of us would be. Eventually, David does succeed he gets the priests, they carry the Ark of the Covenant in, and yes, there is once again a home for the Ark of the Covenant there in the royal city. He wants to build a temple, but God said, I appreciate the thought, but you're not going to build a temple. It's going to be your son, Solomon, who builds the temple. And Solomon's temple that he builds is glorious. It takes him 7 years to build. He makes up all the new furnishings that apparently had been lost or destroyed or whatever. But at this point in time, all new furniture and you know, just some amazing things were built. And the temple, by all descriptions, would have been a sight to behold. And this really became the centerpiece of national pride for the children of Israel. And it was such a lure that when the kingdom split, the northern kings, remember Jeroboam, decided idolatry and building new statues for in the north was the only way to keep people from coming to that temple. Solomon's temple lasted about as long as the tabernacle had, about 400 years before it was destroyed. A second temple would later be built, and that would have been the temple that Jesus visited. And so that one had lasted for quite a few years as well. But this really was the location that defined the Hebrew people and Jewish worship, was that temple. And so ever since the year roughly 70 AD, there has been no temple. And so regular Old Testament worship cannot happen. Now, Old Testament, New Testament prophecy both state that a new temple will at some point in time be built. But for right now, regular worship as God commanded is not possible. So study the word, take some time and compare the layout differences between the temple and the tabernacle. And also think about it. Does the fact that people actually died because they worshiped incorrectly change how you view God? So think about it. Leave some comments below. Thanks for listening.